B-Pod Studios.
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Tucker and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich. Everyone is very excited about the new Avengers movie. It wraps up everything. They will never make another one again. They're going to leave all that money on the table.
3 hours long.
Oh, yes.
Without the previews, you're going to pee your pants.
That's right. You can't miss a second. Wear a diaper.
And apparently the directors have warned there's no moment where it's safe for you to go and use a bathroom.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Were they piranhas in the toilets?
It could be. Or ghoulies? Weren't they the ones who came up in the toilets?
I don't know.
Were they the beats? Ghoulies?
There's alligators.
There was around after Gremlins came out, there were like 15 movies that tried to be Gremlins. There was Critters. Yep. Critters 2. Yeah. Ghoulies were the ones that came out of the toilet and said they'll get you in the end.
Ah!
See, that means their ass.
What a marvelous play on words.
Yes, well, it does.
Bert and Nick both desperately want to go to the premiere with Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And because they don't want any spoilers. So, Rich, Nick has talked to his father, and now it's Bird's turn.
We said, find anybody. It could be some guy out in the street. It could be like a drug and recap type person. It could be somebody you know. And so I was pleasantly surprised this morning early when I came in that Bird had emailed me an audio file other than the one he originally sent me. Because he sent me one that was pretty good. But then I see this one, and it says nothing. There's no description. And I open it up, and are you ready to hear it?
I absolutely am. Here is Bird.
Is this for radio?
Yes.
What's your name?
Mike Marchant.
Wait, are we cousins? Related?
Yes, we are.
This is the first time I'm meeting you.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
He figured that out so quickly.
Are we like cousins?
Because I often do that. Like, I go like, hey, what's up? Are we cousins?
Of course. Whoa.
Reminds me like stepbrothers. Do we just become best friends?
Yup.
But you have to do, you got to make sure you're related. You're not related. I do that with every, when I was single, I did it with every woman I met. I go, hi, what's your name? My name's Stacy. Are we cousins? Because I'm planning to bed you.
I just imagine in the birdhouse, there's just like relatives like rolling out of the closet.
Oh, are you kidding
like
me?
Hiding underneath the bed.
Well, Dan O'Brien has got 5,000 brothers and sisters.
He's the leader in the clubhouse. There's that's like, true.
He's constantly going to awake.
He has so many relatives. Right. Somebody dies like every week.
Yeah.
Like it's like like every week he shows up in a suit. Like, what? I got to go to another wake. I'm like, all right. He's like the king of wakes.
They're not in like quite often. They're just old age. But there's, I mean, he's got. Oh, Jesus. For real? 30 some odd cousins.
Yeah.
Nephews, rather.
I have a lot, but I don't have so many that I've, like, never met them. Or...
Are we cousins?
Do we just become cousins or what?
I think that we are.
What's that, Bird? What are you saying?
Oh, he's just... Okay, good.
So my great-grandfather, they're twins, my great-grandfather Bill and the other side, Tom. The whole side of that family, I've met, like, maybe... one or two cousins, and that's it. And this is the third cousin I met in my 37 years of existence.
In fairness, Rich, some of them migrated to Revere.
Chelmsford.
I was about to say, where do they live?
They moved back to the old
Did
land.
You say Chelmsford?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, how? And they've lived there, like, your whole life?
That's the old country.
In the beginning, they grew up in Everett, and they moved out northwest.
So you lived right next to them. You never met them.
Rich, okay. They can't speak the same language. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, his father didn't want to get on a plane.
You have relatives that lived in your town when you like growing up, and you never met them. All right.
Well, it's like the Game of Thrones over there. Lord knows what's going on. Got to get a DNA test every time you kiss a chick.
Is this for radio?
Yes.
What's your name?
Mike Marchant.
Wait, are we cousins? Related?
Yes, we are.
Wait, this is the first time I'm meeting you.
Yes, you are. Yes, it is.
Wait. Okay, hold on. I'm blown away by this. So, I have my Uncle Mike, my father, and we have other cousins.
Yes.
Who are the other cousins? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Jimmy.
Yep, I know Uncle Jimmy.
Kathy.
Uh-huh.
Ralphie.
Okay.
Because your father's father is my father's first cousin.
Gotcha.
That's basically how it is.
Well, nice to meet you.
You too. Yeah.
So what do you think about the Bruins?
Jeez. You know, that's a tough game. They got outskated. Got outskated big time.
You think they'll pull it out?
If they pull it out tomorrow, which I think they can, they have it in them to pull it out. But if they pull it out, I think they're going to go all the way to the cup.
I think the term is pull it off.
Yeah.
I could say pull it out. What's wrong with that?
I mean,
come on.
It means something different.
Is that right?
They never say it in Everett.
No.
Judging by the size of the family.
Yeah, that's why the families are so big.
Hip game, not very strong.
No. What, it feels better.
They pull it out. Then, you know.
Are we cousins?
Yeah. Do you just become cousins or what?
It's nice to meet you.
Gotcha. What about the Celtics?
Celtics a little tougher road, but I think they'll get into the Milwaukee series. They'll take care of Indiana, and I think they'll either beat Philly or Brooklyn.
So you like the Touch and Rich radio program, as you told me before we started talking.
I listen to it every morning.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And you're a family member. That makes me feel even better about it.
Yes, sir.
So what do you love about the show?
The banter between everybody there.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are pretty funny.
Thank you.
But, you know, when Fred picks on you sometimes, it just aggravates the shit out of me.
Yeah?
Basically because you're a relative.
I didn't know that.
Because I didn't know that.
But real quick, I didn't know that.
In fairness.
Well, I smell some stinks.
So he says, this guy just naming Little Rascals characters. We got Little Rosie, Petey, and then there's Froggy.
Johnny One Leg.
I knew you're my cousin Billy's son. And it's a little personal.
Okay.
You know, it's like him picking on me.
Oh, all right. So it's not personal.
Yeah, it is. So if Fred can't get up in the morning without you calling him, he's got a problem. I mean, he has a wife, right?
Yes, he does.
Does he have an alarm clock?
Yeah, he has two. One on his phone and one. I think he said he had one on his phone and one by his bedstand.
Well, what does he need you for?
I don't know.
God. All right. You know, it just aggravates me when he picks on you.
All right.
Rich is pretty cool. I like him. And
what do you think about the Eagle? Wallach.
Wallach is cool. I like Wallach. Who doesn't like Wallach?
I think Fred doesn't like him.
Oh, he doesn't. That's true. Yeah, he always picks on him, too.
Yeah.
What is the matter with Fred?
I don't know.
He's not from around here, is he?
I think he was born and raised in
Newton. Would you like it to finish?
Because I know Chelmsford.
Somebody said, you just don't travel to Chelmsford. It's a rough ride from Everett.
I mean,
we never dared ride the Great Cement River to Chelmsford.
Now, the question is Bird going to get it right or wrong where you're from?
I think that there's a 0% chance he gets it
right. What is he going to say, I guess, is a better question.
I mean,
be like a pink hat here. What is Bird going to say?
His globe goes from Medford to Chelmsford.
No, it's like the world ends.
Yeah.
And then you have to get it like a spaceship.
Some foreign country.
You go to Chelmsford.
Chelmsford, it's one of the moons that goes around the Earth. Yeah, his globe is just a flat surface with three towns on it.
Oh, he doesn't. That's true. Yeah, he always picks on him, too.
Yeah.
What is the matter with Fred?
I don't know.
He's not from around here, is he?
I think he was born and raised in Pennsylvania. Then I think he moved to Detroit. I believe he lived there for a little bit. Now, me and Nick are in a competition to go see the Avengers movie. What makes you think I should go see it over him?
You?
Yeah.
Because you look like one of the Avengers.
Which one? Which Captain Avengers? Do you know any of them?
No, I don't know any of them.
Later.
Bye, Bird.
Bye, Auntie.
Are we related?
What's going on?
Hey! Are we related? Oh, there is my aunt. I didn't know that we were related. I don't like it when Fred picks on you because you're my cousin. I didn't know!
Wait, are we cousins? Related?
Yes, we are.
You remind me of one of the Avengers. No, wrong movie. Dumbo.
I guess you look like one of the Avengers. Which one? I ain't never seen the Avengers.
You just look like, you know,
a guy who would avenge something.
I mean, listen, you've been to Concord. You're like Superman.
So it said, did Bert's family come to Everett from Chelmsford, Oregon Trail style?
Yes.
You have died of dysentery.
One time we had to use the pregnant lady for milk. Just like Grapes of Wrath. We were searching for gold.
It's kind of weird, you know, Avengers people, grown-up men going to see that.
Yeah, like me, yeah.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, I grew up with the comics. I watched them, cartoons and stuff. And, you know, like, when I was 25 and the first Iron Man came out, I was like, oh, my goodness. And then, you know, I just hooked onto it and just never let it go.
That's yeah, to each his own. whatever you're into.
All right, Uncle Mike, thank you, and let's go get a drink.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Is he your uncle or your cousin?
Oh, yeah.
No, he doesn't.
Because you just went uncle at the end, and it was your cousin at the beginning. And,
wait, are we cousins? Related?
Yes, we are.
And I guess, you know, I was a kid. I watched the cartoons. I remember when I was 25, I saw the first Iron Man movie.
It's kind of weird, you know, Avengers people, grown-up men, going to see that.
Yeah, like me? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, perhaps he's his cousin and his uncle. Who knows?
Jimmy.
Yep, I know Uncle Jimmy.
Kathy.
Uh-huh.
Ralphie.
Jimmy the Fish, Sammy the Turtle, Bobby the Fox.
All right, well, Bird, very good.
So he said this sounds like Bird interviewing Bird.
Well, he had no idea they were related. He just went up to a random guy on the street.
Wait, are we cousins? Related?
Yes, we are.
All right, well, he pulled the wool over everyone's eyes. All right, so we'll be right back. There's a lot more to worry about than
Kutcher and Rick. The real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game four is underway. Pacers win the tap. Big day for the Celtics and later the Bruins.
Bergeron into the face-off left circle. They tie up. Marchand shoots. He scores!
And we're down the right side. Return to Al Horford. Finds the open man. Left side. Morris, three. Got it.
Big circle net. Riley shoots. Press. Took it away. Reached up with the left hand. Get that out of here.
Gordon Hayward switches to the right hand. Driving strong. Draws some contact. Runner is good. Score to the foul for Gordon Hayward.
Hoshnut had it on his back end. Shoots. Krug shoots. He scores! The Bruins and LaVork the puck around. Fire one. Krug gets the rebound in the near circle. And he rips it inside the near post. A power play goal. 2-1 Bruins. Got it. He scores!
Gordon Hayward back in the building where he won a state championship has just given the Celtics an 8-point fourth quarter lead.
2-on-2, Krejci right circle. Centers deflected, they score! Jake DeBrus able to win his battle, charged into the front of the net, got the stick down and deflects it home.
Thought we were attacking the net better, just more overall of our identity.
It's exciting to know that when the pressure is high, you have guys that can respond to that.
Today was more the way we wanted. We wanted to be aggressive.
Bounce pass, knocked away by Kyrie. He saves it from going out of bounds. Morris lead for Horford, hand to Jason Tatum, two-hand slam, and the Celtics are running away and hiding here in game four. Straight away. Now angles to the right side of the floor against Evan. Seven on the shot clock. Kick to the open man. Jason Tatum. Four on the shot clock. Tatum finds Hayward. The hot hand for three. Good night.
And the horn is going to sound. Can you smell it? It
It's a game seven. And for the third time since 2013, these two teams are going to play a game seven.
Black hits triple zeros, and the Celtics are the first team to advance to round two. They hang on, and they sweep the Pacers.
You just go out there and just be great.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Billy Chaffee works at Nesson, does the pre and post game, if you're watching, and he joins us from his home on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Billy Chaffee.
Hello, Mr. Fred Toucher. Good morning, everybody. How are you?
I like that you're an early riser.
Oh, I'm getting, we get up early here. I had two early calls this weekend flights. I had a 4:30 wake up and I had a 5:30, so I was trying to stay in bed till 8 or 6:40, get a little 6:45.
Well, listen, it's good to know that the NHL Network's really picking up the tab there for some more expensive flights.
Got to get to town, man. You know what it's like. Come on, you got to get in early. That was a fun day yesterday. I love that montage here coming in. Fun day.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so Cassidy said it after the game. As great as game two was, and we've talked about this before, that would be a very difficult thing to repeat because of the physicality of it, and it's like overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But yesterday is like that's how you beat Toronto, right? Like you forecheck like that, you play physical. Why have they not done that? Until yesterday.
It's a great, we don't know. I mean, even, in game five, the players didn't have an answer to Friday's game where everybody thought they were going to blow the roof off the Garden, but do it in a controlled but aggressive way. We kept saying a game two-like performance, and it was anything like a game two performance on Friday. Is it because they tried to do too much, and sometimes when you try to do too much, it takes you out of, you know, your rhythm, your sync, your chemistry. Is it because the Toronto Maple Leafs simplified their game and the Bruins couldn't adjust some of it? Friday night was maddening. It really was. It was so frustrating because you kept feeling, come on, just try and figure out a way, guys. Dump it in more. Stop trying to overplay it, overpass it. And they just couldn't get out of that rut. They couldn't. This game, with their backs against the wall, the ultimate sports cliche, backs against the wall game, they did it. And their stars came through. And, Fred, it's as simple as perhaps just the guys that you need to lead the way, but they haven't been able to find it. I mean, the scary thing is for Bruins fans is they haven't been able to do it in consistent games in this series. So can they figure out a way to do it in consistent games and do it from game six to game seven? We'll obviously see tomorrow evening.
So Brandon Carlo's kind of been a surprise. Like I think yesterday might have been his best game as well.
Well, is it a surprise or is it a big sigh of relief? Because if you compare or juxtapose it to his performance in game one, Rich, yes, it's a surprise. But you also got to give the kid a little bit of credit and a little time. I mean, as you well know, first 2 years injured heading into the playoffs, couldn't perform. So all of a sudden now he's in his first ever playoffs, scenario. He was not good in game one. A couple of other kids struggled too, just with the moment and the enormity of it. But last game yesterday afternoon, he was a beast out there. He was their best defenseman by far, and they had some other good performances. I liked a ton of what Torrey Krug did. I mean, you got Torrey Krug involved in the offense; it was awesome. But Carlo was impactful in all three zones. His gaps were excellent. His reads, his battle, everything. The way that he was able to, if he was out there against Matthews or Marner, use his physical presence to get shoulders, on them. It doesn't crush you, but what he does is he can take you out, and then he came away with the puck an awful lot. I thought he did a great job of separation from, the half wall below his goal and his own goal line. And I really thought that his reads were excellent. He stepped up an awful lot. And again, is it a surprise or is it just he's comfortable now? Unlike a week and a half ago when he wasn't in his first NHL Stanley Cup playoff game.
All right, so this is I heard you guys actually talking a little bit about this in the post game yesterday, and Mike Babcock, the pressure is on him right now because he hasn't won a playoff round since 2013, and yes. I guess if you go all the way back to his time in Detroit, he's 0-4 in potential series clinching games. Does any of that mean anything going into this game seven?
Well, I guess if he goes 0-for-5, it does. I don't. The hype around that, Rich, will especially with the Toronto media machine, will probably make something out of it. If there's something that he does do or doesn't do on the bench or in the locker room, then I guess it has impact. But I've actually liked his coaching this series. I think he's done a good job. Mike Babcock probably gets at times more credit than maybe what he deserves. I think a lot of coaches would tell you that, Rich, in any sport. And at times he probably doesn't get enough credit for some of the other things he's done. I don't think so. I mean, Brad Marchand said it in the post game, paraphrasing, because he was asked by the Toronto media right away how, they ended up losing in game 7 in Boston, had the lead, et cetera. How much do you think that helps? And he said, not at all. That doesn't matter at all. I mean, and I don't think it does because the maturity of his team, and wouldn't you guys agree that this Toronto team, I know this for a fact, they've played such a more mature game of hockey this year in this series, even though we're going 7 games again. Their style of hockey has been more mature, and I think a little bit of that has to do with Babcock. They've listened to him more, and I think he's gotten through to them in a way. But because last year at times it was a very immature game. It was frenetic at times. We have hardly seen a herky-jerky, frenetic Toronto Maple Leaf team in this series.
Billy, I don't know if you're aware of this. Tuukka Rask tends to be a polarizing figure in this town.
Barely.
I'm wondering, how do you think he's played in this series, and considering his performance in the first 6 games, can he steal you a game 7?
I think if he plays like he did yesterday, and hopefully he doesn't have to steal the game. I think that he's been very good. I don't think he has had to steal a game here yet. Some of that is the credit to his team. Both good and bad, because I think they've all been really sharp in the games they've won and just off in the games that they've lost. I know game 4 was more of a back-and-forth game, but every game in the series, by the way, has had its own identity. Back to Tuukka, I sure hope he can play his role. I thought he was excellent, yesterday. I thought he was great, and that, didn't have to steal it. Didn't have to steal it at all. But man, oh man, did he make some big saves! I mean, we had marked down saves in all 3 periods at what we would call significant. The Matthews shot, I mean, yesterday, you say, well, maybe he was just off a little bit. Well, of course he was just off a little bit. I mean, the game is incredibly fast, but Matthews is a pretty damn good shooter too. If a Bruin had scored that goal, we'd probably be saying, what a shot. I mean, he gets the release off, and instead of going short side high, he goes far side high. That gets the goalie, coming over him. I'm guessing Tuukka was reading short side high because most NHL shooters would go that way, and Matthews, meanwhile, goes far side. So, I mean, he gives up 2 goals in a game. I thought that was pretty good yesterday.
All right, Billy, real quick. Marchand and Krug yesterday after the game were complaining about the ice at the TD Garden, and they say that it's like, might as well bring a tennis ball out there. Whose fault is it when the ice isn't? What explains why during this series the ice has been so bad? Because we were talking about it. It hasn't been, like, super hot outside. Why is it bad? Well, and have you noticed it being bad throughout the season, and they're just now saying something?
Well, it's not skated on as much now due to the fact the Bruins have the beautiful facility where they practice, and so they don't practice at the Garden as much. And that may have a little something to do with it. The amount of events at this arena and other arenas. By the way, I did the game in Washington, Rich, the other day.
Yeah.
And the ice was awful there too. It was awful. Guys were having a hard time making plays as well. The weather changed before game 5 in the sense, remember, it got more humid for those of us. If I had any hair, I might have had a bad hair day. But, it was a more humid day. That doesn't help. Whose fault is it? I think it's part of it, the equipment that you have in some of these facilities. And this is not an old facility, but it's not brand new either. When I talk about dehumidification system, it probably needs to get better dehumidification system. Humidity is one of the big, I'm told, one of the biggest issues.
Like, can they fix it before tomorrow? Like, if there is an issue, because it sounds like there is one, is that something that, knowing how they maintain the ice, is that something to be fixed? Yeah, there's no Celtics game or anything.
well, no Celtics game, which should help with the floor, you know, I mean, with the ice not being covered. Maybe they can get it skated on a little more. I don't know. I don't know the Bruins. I mean, the Bruins routine has been skating at Warrior. You know, the more you skate on ice, too, the more you cut it up and then you resurface it and shave it and everything, the better it gets, too. I don't know if they'll practice there before the game tomorrow or not. I'm going to guess not. I don't think that they'll bring in more of a dehumidification system. There are certain buildings, for instance, Tampa, where I know it's warmer there, but as the playoffs always went on, the Lightning had to bring in a couple of hundred grand per game, a dehumidification system to pull the warm air out of there. I'm not an ice expert, but I can tell you that that helps an awful lot. Rich, I'm going to say I don't think, but not being the ice guru, I don't know. Maybe there is something they can do. They'll probably drop the temperature a bit more, and they'll do everything in their power in the building, and they'll do everything in their power to bring the ice to a certain temperature and to a certain level for the game. But, you know, I will say this. I agree with him. The ice wasn't good the other day. We saw that, no question about it. Again, it's cliche, Rich, but it's the same for both teams. You got to figure out a way to deal with it.
All right, Billy Jaffe. Watch him on Nesson. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
And tell your friend Jack Edwards to calm down. He's very angry on Twitter that people don't think that the games are on Nesson because of what's on a lot of the scrolls. Matter of fact, the other day, I didn't think you guys were on Nesson. The label said it was something else. So
yeah, I know. That was a bad error. I don't listen. It wasn't a Nesson error, by the way. It was somebody. But regardless, irrelevant. I will. We'll take care of it. We're on Nesson tomorrow. Starting.
Okay.
Very good. There you go. Billy Jaffe, thank you so much.
Gentlemen, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
See, Jack Edwards lost his mind.
Were they on Nesson yesterday?
See, I don't know. I didn't get to see because I was watching. No. I was streaming it.
But I don't think so. I think it was like an ABC production.
But the other night, were on Nesson, and I went to go click on it, and it said Bruins and 2.
Yeah.
And so I went over to NBC Sports and watched it there.
Right. Right. And Jack Edwards did not like that.
No, he did not. Like that at all. He was pissed.
Jack when he's angry.
And I guess the PlayStation, if you watch the hockey games on PlayStation, like that just got yanked or something like that.
Yeah, they couldn't come to an agreement at the last minute. PlayStation View, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
Well, there's many, many mysteries out there when it comes to the Bruins. All right. We will be right back. Here are the headlines. Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Bounce pass. Knocked away by Kyrie. He saves it from going out of bounds. Morris lead for Horford. Hand to Jason Tatum. Two-hand slam. And the Celtics are running away and hiding here in game 4.
Boom, yeah. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Once I was done with the Sunday brunch yesterday, I went to a bar and it was the second half of the Celtics game. And as the game started to bleed into 3 o'clock, there was one guy, by the way, who wanted to watch the Red Sox.
Oh my God.
I asked if they would put the game, it's a local place I go to a lot. So I said, will you put the game on, the Celtics game on this screen? And then people were like, what about the Bruins? What about the Bruins? I said, the Bruins aren't going to start at 3. And sure enough.
It's a little bit of time.
It takes a long time.
It does. Yes, it does.
Especially with the two anthems.
Yep, it does. And yesterday it was just, I think with the Celtics series, it got close at times, but there was always a feeling that it was never in question. And that is not a feeling that we have had with the Celtics team throughout most of the regular season. And it hasn't been until like the last 2 weeks that you've seen everything just start to click, and they're right now playing pretty close to what we had imagined them being at the beginning of the season.
Especially Hayward.
Well, Hayward's Hayward. I mean, and the only reason that his numbers aren't as high as he was in Utah is he's not playing as many minutes as he did in Utah. But when he comes off the bench, and last night, what was it, 20 points that he got?
Yeah.
It's the way he's getting those points, too, that's the most impressive.
And that he's taking games over down the stretch.
He is, and he's gotten
confidence. This is what I keep saying this, but this is what it was like when he was in Utah. They spread the floor, they gave the ball to him, and he created.
Yep.
And it was great to see that even though Kyrie did take over down the stretch in game 3, he didn't finish the game. It was someone else who finished. That's the most important thing. This is what it was supposed to look like. throughout the season. What you're seeing now is what the Celtics envision when they put these guys together.
Do you remember how miserable it was at the end of last season, Game 7 against the Cavaliers, where you're just, can somebody score? Please, can somebody just score? And they didn't have that go-to guy because Kyrie was injured. Now, you got two of those guys. You've got two guys at the end of the game. If they got their ball in their, the ball in their hands, then good things are going to happen. And then, I mean, if you even want to add in people like Jason Tatum, who, you know, is pretty damn reliable when it comes to scoring, I'm not going to put Marcus Morris in there, although he's had his good games. And I'm not going to put Rozier. I'm not going to put all these guys who've been flashes in the pan. But consistently great scorers, you now have two of them on this team. And Hayward, it's like, I mean, from 3-point, you know, I think he was shooting, what did he shoot, 79% yesterday? And the great thing about Gordon Hayward is that I don't know a graceless guy who gets in the paint, that more, who has just looks more like a clomping Clydesdale.
He's quicker than you think.
He does, but he just like, yeah. And he just like barrels guys over. And he was pretty good on defense, except for that one time he got posterized yesterday. But other than that, like, well, he was banging with some of the big guys down there.
I agree. And the highlight of, and I found it really fascinating, the highlight of yesterday's game was Miles Turner's dunk. And it was pretty impressive. But what they left out is that Jaylen Brown went down and hit a three about 4 seconds later.
Doesn't matter. He did the tomahawk, baby.
That's right. That's right.
He did.
So now the question is,
the perfect blend of power and finesse.
Now the question is, they've beaten Indiana, which everyone thought was going to happen. And now they're going to get Milwaukee after Milwaukee finishes off Detroit tomorrow night. And this is what we were worried about. I mean, Milwaukee, the Celtics beat Milwaukee in 7 games in the first round of the playoffs last year. This year's different. Milwaukee had the best record in the Eastern Conference. They're playing about as good as you can play. And can the Celtics beat this team for the most part, if not the entire series, without Marcus Smart?
It's a great series. It's going to be a great series, and I think it'll go the distance. And, I mean, who knows who's going to win. But the one thing that I know that they're going to have to do is I think you just let Giannis do what he's going to do, and you try to shut down everybody else.
And I would agree with that. Celtics were 1-2 against them during the season. They gave up 120 points to Milwaukee in one of the games, but Horford didn't play in that game, and that makes a sizable difference.
Against Giannis.
Against Giannis. And so last year, they put Ojale on Giannis for long periods of time, and that worked for a couple of games anyway. I don't think that's going to happen this time. They're going to miss Marcus Smart a ton. Having him makes a significant difference with the guard play they have in this series.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. More than any other team I think they would go up against, you would need him for this one. But the other thing that I think might be a benefit is that this Milwaukee team just had a cakewalk through the first round. I mean, the Pacers at least put up a fight.
A lot of people would say,
but Detroit
I understand.
Has been, it's almost like they're not going in warmed up. You know what I mean? It's like when you haven't really been tested, you wonder if they're going to come in cold.
Blake Griffin's back. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you guys talked about it earlier, but you were talking about Cedric Maxwell and some weird shit he was saying during the game.
All right. But don't swear.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
My bad. I don't know if you guys are talking about the Miles Turner dunk, but I don't know if you caught the conversation Maxwell had with Brandy about how Miles Turner is going to end up in someone's bedroom, a kid's bedroom, and then he said in a good way. And it was just a pretty funny.
Okay, so he meant a poster.
Yeah, we listened
then,
to it.
Yeah, but I was laughing when I heard that.
He's going to end up in a kid's bedroom.
Can we just pull the audio? I know he meant it one way.
Yeah, was it after the highlight? Hang on.
It's got to be right after Miles Turner with that dunk.
I'll look for it. So obviously, I didn't hear it, but I
can
tell you.
I have the Turner dunk here. I have not listened to this. All right, let's see what we got here.
Turner, he's going to up fake on Horford, drive and throw it down. Over Gordon Hayward, a spectacular gift that keeps on giving type dunk from Miles Turner. Wow. You'll be seeing that over and over and over.
No, okay. We don't have Maxwell.
Well, I did hear along those lines somewhat of an explanation for this head-scratcher from Cedric Maxwell that we played.
Gordon Hayward switches to the right hand, driving strong, draws some contact, runner is good, score to the foul for Gordon Hayward.
Woo! Gordon Hayward. Bang, bang, Santa Claus. Well, I guess it's not that time.
Okay, so once again, that makes no sense
at all. He was shooting Santa Claus.
Bang, bang, kill Santa Claus.
I don't know why.
Coming down the chimney, throw that grenade.
Unless he just got his holidays mixed up because it was Easter and he wanted to make an Easter joke. I mean, you can always have him dunk and like, he is risen. I mean, there's a million things you could do. However, with that one, somebody did say there might have been, once again, a massive reach of an explanation. I guess because everyone's hitting everyone in the balls yesterday. Like, Sabonis who was pulling on Marcus Morris's pants?
After they tied up, they put his hand up, basically down his pants and pulled.
Like, tried to pants
and
him.
Morris was not happy with this.
No, and I wouldn't be either. As a matter of fact, I didn't see what happened at first, but I saw Morris, like, shove the guy.
I saw it on the replay. See it on the backside replay.
I was like, he's going to get a T, and then you realize, no, he's trying to pull his pants down. But I guess that Sean Grandy was making some jokes about silver bells. Because people were getting hit in the balls, and bang, bang, Santa Claus, I guess.
It's, even if he was talking about Christmas, it still doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not.
Even if Granny was like, you know, at Christmas time, it's my favorite time, you get presents and everything, bang, bang, Santa Claus still doesn't matter. It, contextually, it matters nothing.
Was that a Gordon Hayward shot? Was it Gordon Hayward who scored there? Maybe he looks like Santa Claus.
Yes, that was Gordon Hayward.
I want a shirt that's got Gordon Hayward's face on it. It says, bang, bang, Santa Claus.
You know what I was wearing the other day and I didn't even realize it?
What's that?
The Robert Kraft shirt that says...
grilled hot dog sliced. You like it, right? Yeah, I have that shirt, too.
I was wearing it out. All right. The guy who sings the anthem at the Bruins game is on.
Oh, that's kind of a cool story. All right. I actually wouldn't mind hearing if that's true.
All right. So we will, if you can hang on during the break, we can talk to him.
All right.
All right. We will be right back.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For the last.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, over the weekend, became infatuated with the man who does the national anthem. Am I getting this correct?
So I was at the game on the game one, and, you know, during the playoffs, you kind of like, hey, where's Renee? We need Renee Rancourt out here. And
yeah, I got some jabroni.
Yeah, I'm like, and I know that the whole season Renee's been gone, but the playoffs are different. And so... this guy comes out, and I'm like, all right, well, he's pretty good. So I wasn't upset. I was like, all right. And then after game five, he came out again. I'm like, this guy's all right. I you know what? You won me over. I don't miss Renee anymore. This guy's okay.
Not a lot of people, so, you know, hyper-focused on the guy doing the national anthem, but listen.
Well, because, you know, my initial reflex was just to be angry and not like this guy because he's not Renee, and he's not doing the fist pumps.
My
and, you know,
initial reaction is if I'm not at the game. Not turning the game on until all this is over.
I was at a bar. So I was watching it, and then I just tweeted something. I'm like, all right, this guy's okay. And I started getting a bunch of tweets about people who knew who he was. And his story, if it's true, from what everyone was saying, is pretty cool. And he called in. Now, Todd, is your last name is it Angley or Angeli?
Angeli. You got it right second time. Perfect.
Okay, good, Todd. All right. So tell me about, like, I've heard that after you sing... you work upstairs at the sports deck slinging drinks.
That's correct.
Oh, that's awesome. So you go down, you sing, and then you just immediately go up and you switch your uniform, and you're working at the TD Garden the rest of the night as a bartender.
Yeah, actually, I'm there probably about for a 7 o'clock game. They're usually about 4 o'clock set up. Club members come in, you know, earlier, so, you know, we're getting them going. And it's about 6:30. I watch the clock, head over to the bathroom, change my stuff, hit the elevator, down the floor 3, go out, sing the anthem, get them fired up, get back, and make sure all my tabs are still going.
Now, did you audition? Were you already working at the Garden, and then you just auditioned for it?
Yeah, I've actually been working there for about 20 years. So, you know, listening to you on the opening there, that nobody's a bigger fan of traditions than I am. And I've loved listening to Renee. Renee and I both went to the same, not at the same time, but went to the same school. I went to graduate school at New England Conservatory as well. And I've been doing the anthem for a long time. So I've had the pleasure of listening to him and seeing the effect he's had on the crowd and all that. And probably for about the past 3 years, I've been able to fill in a game here or there because he would take, you know, games off every now and then. So I've been doing it, you know, here and there for the past, you know, 3 years. But they had the audition after he announced his retirement. So I threw my hat in the ring and good things have happened. So.
When anyone screws with tradition, people get pissed. So as you being the guy that's not Renee Rancourt, did you hear it from fans before you, you know, really started to catch on and people started to like you?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the worst thing I could have done was open a Twitter account. And
that's the worst thing anyone can do.
Yeah, no, you're not alone.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a pretty sensitive guy. You know, all of us Italians are. And some of this stuff is kind of funny. One guy said, it looks like the new Anthem guy ate the old Anthem guy. I mean, I laughed at that. I thought that was pretty funny. But then some people get pretty, they go pretty hard at me. But, you know, on one hand, you know, it's probably some kid in his basement's got nothing better to do. But on the other hand, I get it. Nobody's a bigger fan of tradition
than
I am.
Dude, people suck on Twitter. You're allowed to say that.
Don't listen to those things. Right? But, you know, Rancourt had a pretty good side hustle. That, like, people hired him to do their weddings and people hired him to do, like, bar mitzvahs and stuff. So are you going to throw your hat in the ring? I mean, I guess he was making a few bucks.
Yeah, I actually cantor at a Catholic church in Quincy, St. Mary's, and a little plug for St. Mary's. And
give it up for St. Mary's.
It was funny, too, because my wife got mad. I was home late for Easter yesterday because I live in Linfield, and I couldn't help it. I couldn't get out of the church yesterday. All these people wanted to take pictures with me in front of all the flowers and all that because I'm the anthem singer.
That's kind of funny.
It was hilarious. But I've been getting approached about doing some singing because of the anthem, but I've been doing weddings and stuff pretty regularly. So this has been helping, and I'm up to the task. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, when you got something, when you have an opportunity to share your voice and get people fired up, whether it's down on the ice or, you know, it's at an event, I'm up to it, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm the luckiest guy in the world right now. There were a lot of good singers that auditioned that night, and there's been a lot of good singers, you know, singing during the season as they've done the audition process. So
are you the guy now? Are you the guy? Like, is it because I know throughout the season they had a bunch of different people? Are you now the guy?
So they at the audition they said that they were going to rotate people through the season, and they were going to make a decision after the season was over, and they've pretty much stuck to that. I don't ask any questions when I get the email. You know, can I sing? Yes, absolutely, done. And I don't ask any questions. You know, I'm very thankful to be asked to sing, and you know, it's an honor. And they could have anybody sing. They could go out, get a big star or whatever it is. So I'm very fortunate, and I take a lot of pride in being able to do that. And again, the tradition thing, I think, you know, I've been getting a lot of good responses. And I get people, my favorite is they'll say, hey, you're doing a good job. Not as good as Renee, but you're doing a good job. So I'll take that.
Dude, we get the same thing.
Yep, I know how that goes. All right, Todd, thank you so much.
Hey, good job,
have a good
man.
Time.
Hey, thanks for the plug, guys.
We'll see you, man.
There you go. There's Todd.
he's all right.
All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.